This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest sports columnist.
You ain't gotta do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. 'Cause I'll make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble and dust, 'cause we'll be pushing it up. Somebody say, you
a cough in Wuhan, and in no time at all there were
one, two, three,
and one went on a plane, took it overseas, and that's how pandemics get started, you see. Woe is me, now we've got COVID-19.
Oh, let's see if I can make it easier.
Do not fear, but please stay here. Stay at home now, everyone. We must wash and clean things well. Cars, no long trips, just for fun. Don't let COVID virus spread. Isolate yourself at home. See your friends online instead. That's a healthy way to go.
I thought I'd begin with a little bit of a song this morning to lift everybody's spirits.
Stay here, stay at home now, everyone.
You know how I like the sound of music.
We must wash and clean things well. Cars, no long trips, just for fun.
Just to lift our spirits a little bit.
Don't
no sense.
Let COVID virus spread.
Being grim about things.
Isolate yourself at home.
Isolate yourself at home, kids.
See your friends online instead.
Come instead.
That's a healthy way to
do. Not fear, but just stay here. Time to all self-isolate.
Wash your hands.
Sing it,
use
people.
Use lots of soap. Don't go further than your gaze. Social life must stay online. Keep 2 meters clear of me. Watch TV, drink lots of wine.
Lots of wine.
That will kill COVID-19. Cough in your elbow, wash your hands with soap.
Good morning, everybody, and happy Monday. You know what's amazing about that? It's how'd they do that? Like, how did they throw that together? They're not allowed to. There were lots of voices singing that. They were social. They have to be social distancing. I think it's a British production. I'll be honest.
Jeff, there's a
can you do this?
There's a software program.
Oh, there's a software program.
In which you can record your own voice on multiple tracks.
So, today on the show, Manoj Jain is going to join us. He is the infectious disease doctor, both at the UT Medical Center and at the Rollins School of Health, which is Emory's School of Health there in Atlanta. And he's going to join us later on in this segment, just a little bit, to sort of give us an update on where we are. He is advising the city on how to handle this crisis. Then Ali Prescott is going to join us. We're not going to be all COVID-19, and so Ali's going to join us. It is the 20th anniversary of the opening of AutoZone Park. That was yesterday, I believe. And so we will talk to him about that. Also, he, of course, acted as interim athletic director at the University of Memphis and have some sense of what they're probably going through over there, just the kinds of things you would be worried about. That's a huge job in any – can you imagine Laird Veach, man?
He's had quite the debut, right? Like, when you think about everything that's happened to him – like, on this job, and it's not even been a full calendar year.
All the penny stuff.
It's been like a roller coaster, highs and lows.
And now the pandemic.
Winning the American Athletic Conference Championship, Cotton Bowl berth, you know, the James Wiseman excitement, then the...
James Wiseman fiasco.
Then yeah. James Wiseman running from a Sprinter van into FedEx Forum. It's been a full range.
And now a pandemic. And now you have to figure out how to have a football season, if to have a football season, how to have a basketball season, if to have a basketball season, how to pay your bills either way. And so, anyway, we'll have Ali. I'm thrilled to talk to Ali. We'll do that in the next segment. Chris Harrington, of course, at 10 o'clock. He has a piece up. Memphis in May is rescheduled till October. And Memphis in May said the show must go on, and he thinks May should be used in a lowercase fashion. The show may go on. We don't know if the show will go on in October or not, and there's no reason to predict it one way or another.
Well said.
Let's be honest. And we know that because yesterday, of course, President Trump extended the social distancing guidelines through the end of this month. Of course, right? I mean, you knew that, right? Of
yes.
course. But it's still, even though it's of course, it's still like, okay, we are really in this for the long haul. I think there is, when even the president, who was just recently talking about opening up the churches for Easter, because that would be beautiful, that we're not built as a country to be shut down. The problem here is there is no good answer. There is no good answer. This is miserable for the economy. It's miserable for the country. It's miserable for education. It's miserable, particularly for those without means. It's miserable for everyone who's lost their job. It's miserable for small businesses. It is miserable. But you can't, and we said this exactly when it happened, and here we are, you can't start an economy up and tell people to just come on out and play when there is a pandemic and bodies stacking up and refrigerator vans being moved next to the hospital in New York because they don't have room for the bodies any longer. And in fact, if you want any evidence that you just can't tell people to come out and play, all you have to look at is Liberty University, where they did tell people to come out and play. And now they basically ordered everybody back. Students, by the way, do, if they don't want to come back because they're scared, they could get a $1,000 credit towards future classes. Generous of them.
Thanks, anyway, Dr. Jerry.
So now, evidently, weird story in the New York Times because, and Falwell has now denied that there's an outbreak at Liberty.
Mm.
But the source is the person who's in charge of the medical care at Liberty. And so I don't believe anyone, the
future former source.
Nobody has tested. This is the problem with these medical scientist people, right? These scientists, whether it's Fauci or whether it's this guy, they don't necessarily take marching orders. Like they still tell you the science.
Yeah,
right?
they're concerned with public health.
Yes, they're concerned with public health.
They're not political officials.
They actually don't have it in them to lie. And so he said he recommended against coming back and that there could be a spread. And he's now said there's 10, as many as 10, I think, with symptoms, but none have tested positive as of yet. Of course, it takes a little while for the test to come back. So there we are. Anyway, that's what happens if you tell people to come out and play. It doesn't work. It can't work. It won't work. And in any event, of course, it would also spread the virus. So in other news, there's an increasing number of famous people who you know who have it. John Prine. A much beloved singer-songwriter is in desperately ill condition, evidently, with it. James Dolan has it. Boris Johnson, we know that already, has it. Tom Hanks, by the way, is home. He and
so is Rita.
And Rita. They are back from Australia. They have cleared. They are fine. They are doing well, and they are back. So that is good news for them. There is a nursing home in Gallatin, Tennessee, which has had 23 people move to the hospital Friday, 59 more over the weekend, and 33 staffers also test positive. Does that give you an idea of how unbelievably contagious this is? 23 Friday, 59 more over the weekend, to 33 staffers tested positive. And if you watched Trump yesterday, which I did, I went back and watched it on video, I'm on the tape of it, it was just a very different sounding, somber scene. He was no longer, we're going to open this baby up, we're not meant to be closed, etc. He talked about body bags. He mentioned the number 2 million dead 16 times. 16 times he mentioned the number that 2 million Americans could die from this if social distancing is not enforced. And again, if we don't have 2 million, that's not a reason to say you idiots were wrong. That is a reason to applaud social distancing. It means it worked. But just so you know, the flu, 61,000 maybe. Like, so we're talking 2 million here, possibly.
See, it's just like the flu.
It's just like the flu. 1.6 million to 2.2 million was the estimates if the social media guidelines were not extended. He also talked about a friend of his who had it and was in a coma. He seemed legitimately impacted by you can't run a country when bodies are stacking up. You just can't. And so he did the obvious thing, and hopefully now people do take it seriously. There were lots of shots from over the weekend of people frolicking. Lots of shots over the weekend of people frolicking. And I was thinking about it. Why don't people take it seriously, right? And I think it's a few reasons. One is, as Americans, we don't, right? Like we believe we can do what the hell we want. I think that's just sort of in our national character. We do what the hell we want. Secondly, we don't really think we're going to get sick, right? We're thinking we're doing it for this broader social good, to stop the virus. And people are selfish that way, right? No one wants to stay home. Thirdly, for the good of others. Thirdly, there's been totally mixed messaging on this. And it's why people like Clay Travis are dangerous, is because if you hear from Manoj Jain, who we'll hear from next, that this is serious and you should stay home and it's a disaster and we could have this many dead and et cetera, and then you hear from Clay Travis, who says it's just like the flu, or has been saying it's just like the flu, and downplaying it consistently, you think, oh, I'll just choose my facts. We try to turn this into another thing about which there's red and blue, a red side and a blue side, right? And it's just another debate. It's like, and it's not. Like, there's just reality here. This is not just another thing to kick around. And so if you're someone who doesn't really want to stay inside anyway, you can listen to Dr. Clay Travis instead of Dr. Fauci, and away you go. Away you go. And so I think the mixed messaging is very difficult. But then also, I think there's the perception that it's just a cold, right? For a lot of people, it's just a cold. Well, the Washington Post did a first-person interview with Toni Sizemore, whose wife, Birdie, died of this. First person in Indiana to die of this. And she moved rental cars around, like from, you know, that had to go from one place to another, right, one city to another, that kind of thing. And so she probably picked it up in a rental car. Like she was getting it, maybe it was a rental car that had been used in New York or sure, wherever else. She'd probably picked it up in a rental car is the feeling. But let me just give you a little bit of this. What was like it was for, this is his words on what it was like for his wife. And again, we're waiting. We're going to get to Dr. Manoj Jain here in just a minute. She was taking so much oxygen, but it was never enough. She had two little tubes put in her nose and she couldn't get enough air. They put a big mask on her face to get her oxygen back up, and that made her claustrophobic and panicky. She got real freaked out. I tried to count breaths with her. I kept saying, easy, easy, in, out, in, out. I couldn't distract her because she was so deep in her head with panic. It labored her to talk. It labored her to breathe. I said, don't talk then, honey. Save your energy. There was a TV in there, but neither of us could focus on it. I sat in the quiet with her for whatever comfort that might have brought her. I don't know. I was listening to her breathing. I watched her. When she was asleep, she was taking these real quick, short breaths like she was gulping air more than breathing it. When she was awake, she was kind of mumbling to herself. Maybe it was the medication they were giving her. I hope to God it was the medication. She was talking about how her eyes hurt, her insides hurt. She would clutch her fists and hit the bed and stuff. And you don't really know how to help someone in that frame. I mean, she's just clutching her fists and moaning, and I don't know. I don't know what I could have done. I sat there for as long as I could, and then I got up every few hours to pace the hallway, or I'd drive 8 minutes home to feed the dogs. I was starting to go a little crazy myself. I couldn't keep sitting there, feeling helpless, listening to her breathe. It was an awful time. I should be thankful she was not suffering anymore, but she did suffer some. It got worse. Her breaths got raspy, shorter. They put her on life support. They rolled her across the hall one afternoon and tested her for the virus. At some point in there, I went home after midnight to check on the dogs, and when I came back early the next morning, there was a sign that said, no visitors, taped to the door of the hallway that led to her room. The whole thing came confusing to me. They said I couldn't go in. They said nobody could. I sat in the waiting room for hours. I peeked through the window down the hallway once, and I saw them moving her to a different room. It looked like she was sleeping with a tube down her throat. The doctor said she was heavily sedated to stay comfortable. I'd like to believe that, but I don't know if she was comfortable or not. Anyway, goes on. This is no joke. It is no joke. All right, we're going to talk to Ms. Jones. Jane, do we have him? All right, joined now again by Manoj Jain, who is worked with the UT and Medical Center and with the Rollins School of Health in Atlanta, also has been hired by the city to help guide us through this crisis, and he joins me now. Welcome back, Manoj.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. Glad to be with you.
So where are we as a community?
So we are moving ahead. The city and the county together has a task force. We have been diligently working every morning at 8 a.m. We have a call with the over 50 to 75 individuals. And what we're doing is looking at priority areas. What are the areas that we need to be addressing, and how do we maximize the collaborative effort?
So what would be a topic that would come up? Like, for example.
Sure. So let's talk about preparing for the surge. As we have seen in other cities, there will be a surge of patients coming into our hospitals. So we've seen in New York, we're going to be seeing very soon, and it's happening in New Orleans, as well. And this surge, what that means is that patients who have been sick for a week or more, and those who were probably infected 3 weeks or earlier, probably during the Mardi Gras, as in the New Orleans situation, they begin to come into the hospitals. So what we're doing is to build the capacity of the hospitals to be able to take these patients in, to be able to have enough beds, have enough ICU beds, as well as the ventilators and the staff to run the hospital. So we discuss the various strategies on how to prepare for that. So that's one of the topics that we're talking about.
Is that, I mean, you've seen makeshift, I've seen photos at Vanderbilt of sort of a makeshift ward, sort of. I mean, when you talk about a surge, well, I don't know, like how many number, what's our number right now in Memphis for just the numbers of cases? It's, what do we have now? Go ahead.
Sure. So the number of cases is different from the number of patients who will be admitted to the hospital. So right. We may have a large number of cases, but then we need to be really talking about a percentage of those, and it varies. Maybe 10 or 20% may be admitted to the hospital, and they get admitted over various over a period of time. So what we'll basically have to be thinking about is building the hospital capacity to maybe double or more from what it is now.
In terms of the flattening of the curve, both in Memphis and nationally, obviously President Trump said we're going to extend this through the month.
That was wonderful news. I think that was one of the best decisions made at the White House regarding.
You think that was wonderful news? It's just he talks about it now, perhaps peaking the number of cases peaking around Easter, which he formally talked about maybe having the churches open for Easter.
right.
So does that seem reasonable? And what are we looking at? You had various projections for the city. And
sure.
What are the best and worst case scenarios now?
Sure. So the peak is going to vary from city to city, even town to town across the nation. We are working with the state and also UT is also working on this, is to estimate when will be the peak in our area. And we still don't have a clear idea, but given what we are seeing, it may be within 2-4 weeks that we may see a very high number of patients being admitted to the hospital. And the estimates are really hard to do, Jeff, because they vary with so many variables. And the single most important variable that will determine how high that surge is going to be, and you know, and I know, and probably about half of your listeners know, it's what we do with social distancing. You see, if we can reduce the number of contacts we have with individuals, what we do is we reduce the virus multiplying. What we do is we reduce the virus getting from one person to the other. Literally, we starve the virus if we reduce our social distancing at this very time. So it is not a joke when people say, don't be out in the parks. I know it was a beautiful day yesterday. People have this urge to get together, but don't do that because the virus is, you know, it's very stealthy. It's going from person to person when we feel fine, and we don't know that. So that's the single most important thing that we can do as a community, not allow that virus to transmit from one to the other, to maintain a social distance 6 feet from one another. It's really, really important. I can't stress that enough.
As a infectious disease physician, when you see highlights or whatever, pictures of people in the parks over the weekend gathering, what are you thinking?
I'm cringing.
Painful? You're cringing.
Because I can't help but see why people can't understand. After looking at the pictures of Italy, by looking at pictures of New York and then New Orleans, that why it cannot happen in Memphis. And it can. We are no different from those communities in this way. And but we have an opportunity right now to be able to do something to at least mitigate, to reduce the extent and the peak of this surge.
You see pictures of people sitting with chairs 6 feet apart, or sitting, or I'll be honest. So I go, I have a running group, and we run. We don't come within 8 feet of each other when we gather, and then we run 6 to 8 feet apart. But when people are sitting in lawn chairs 6 feet apart, is that okay? Or
I think if people are mindful of doing that, not sharing, not touching one another.
That's the problem.
I think those are things, if they honestly, sincerely do that, that's a good idea. But here's what happens. Sometimes you don't. And sometimes you're going to be closer for a short period of time. And we call a close contact those who can get infected, who are within 6 feet, for about 10 minutes. Then you have a very, very high likelihood of getting the virus. But even a few minutes or more is sufficient for that virus to cause infection.
Can it, by the way, in a grocery store? What are the dangers of going to a grocery store?
So for people who are elderly, those who have underlying medical problems, it's really prudent for them to avoid. Get your grandchildren to do it. Get your others, get it delivered. So I think that's what's important for those who are at high risk, to avoid those. For those who may not be at high risk, what we suggest is be very prudent, avoid touching things, and use facial covering if possible and if available. You see many folks in other countries such as South Korea and places like Hong Kong and Singapore, they have taken on the practice of having masks. And, we need to be thinking of facial covering as a way of protecting ourselves when we have to be out. Now, facial covering is critical if you have to be out and you have an underlying, a little bit of a cold or a cough. Definitely avoid going out. But then if you do, use a mask or something. And again, if you're elderly or if you have underlying problems, then avoid being outside.
Talking to Manoj Jain, who's helping the city steer through this crisis. A couple other questions, and then I'll let you go. There was
sure.
News of this new test approved by the FDA.
Yes.
How helpful will that be? And do you expect, when will that get in the hands of people here in Memphis?
So sooner the better. And we've been talking about it the past couple of days. We're really excited. I think it will help. I think any new testing capacity will help. It's probably not as what we call sensitive and specific as a PCR test that we do now. But again, any type of testing that we do is beneficial at the moment.
Where are you in terms of equipment here in Memphis? Ventilators, masks, personal protective equipment, et cetera.
So right now we're okay. But, it's day by day, and it's going to be a difficult situation when we do have a surge of patients. We're conserving. We have lots of a batch of equipment coming as well. So we're asking folks to be very prudent in their use of the equipment, but we'll take it step by step.
And then last question. So the number right now for Shelby County is 362, at least as of yesterday, Tennessee 1537. Is that mostly more tests, or is it spreading, or both?
Both. So initially it was more tests, and we knew that. But we're seeing the numbers still increase, so it's spreading. But the spread is, there's a delay of the incubation period, 2 to 14 days before they come in, more like 7 to 9 days. So if you went to the park today and had a fun time with a group of people, and just one happened to be infected. They were feeling fine. They were perfectly well, laughing, playing, everything. But just a simple conversation within 6 feet, and they would have infected you. And you would feel fine for the next 7 to 9 days. But then the fever, the cough, and illness, another 5 to 6 days, and then you had complications, potentially being in the hospital in a couple of more days, and you could be in the ICU. This is not a joke in terms of people getting sick. When you think back, oh, gosh, if I had just not gone to the park on that day and resisted the urge and waited for a month or 2 months down the line, that couple of months down the line, I'll enjoy the summer. But just we're really asking people to think before they make those choices, think about social distancing as a critical way of reducing the infection.
The people who were in the park Saturday or Sunday could be in 9 days from now, next Tuesday or Wednesday, they'll start to feel sick.
Anywhere from 2 to 14 days, but usually 7 to 9 days down the pike, they'll begin to have some symptoms. Now, some may have no symptoms, but you see the lag period lets people feel as if nothing has happened, but the virus is replicating in their body during that time. It's beginning to, you know, attack the cells one by one, it's also able to spread while it's not when you're not having symptoms. That's the other concerning part.
This is a really truly this last question. Do you have a sense of why it's hard for people to? There's obviously been mixed messaging from certain media and honestly some politicians, et cetera, about this, how serious it will be. It's just like the flu. Do you have any sense of why it is hard for people to get their minds around this? Or because it hasn't hit us in the way that it will hit us?
Well, I think people feel that when they or someone else is feeling fine, that they are not in any way harmful in spreading an infectious disease. Second, I do believe the mixed messaging has not served us well. And that's for some patients, it'll be catastrophic. Yeah. When something is preventable. And lastly, when you have something which is we are so uncertain about also, and we don't have a vaccine, we don't have a treatment, yes, there is fear in some people, but then there is those who take on some myths and say, oh, it's just something that's made up. It's not going to happen.
Manoj, thank you very much for joining us and for your good work on behalf of all of us. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Jeff. Have a good day.
Yeah. That is Manoj Jain. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Ali Prescott is going to join us. Ali, of course, was the president of the Redbirds when AutoZone Park opened, which was 20 years ago. We will talk to him about that. Also was interim AD at the University of Memphis. Get his sense of what sort of things they might be dealing with over there. We'll do that next. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
5 Hour Energy is energy on the go. But what if you're not going anywhere for a while? Then 5 Hour Energy is energy for getting stuff done while you're stuck at home. Like doing an honest day's work for your boss. Getting rid of old clothes.
My old bell bottoms.
Scouring the grout in your shower. Working out on that old stationary bike. And so much more. Go to the store or order online at shop5hourenergy.com. 5 Hour Energy. Energy for hunkering down.
So if you were looking for someone to help your son with his second grade math homework, who would you call? An auctioneer?
One hit, one, get a bit of two, to get a bit of two, to get a two, now three. Three and all three, to get a bit of four, to get a bit
of
four.
Of course not. You'd want to talk to someone who specializes in your specific situation. And when it comes to marketing for your business, it's exactly the same thing. When you make a call for help, it's because you want it to work. It all starts with a conversation. Call Entercom now at 384-5900 and ask for Rachel. That's 384-5900.
It's flaky. It's hard to spell. It's the croissant sandwich deal at Burger King. Now get two croissant sandwiches loaded with eggs, cheese, and sausage or bacon for just $4. Or mix and match with a biscuit breakfast sandwich, now two for $4 at Burger King. And breakfast? It just got way better with BK Cafe. Now get any size hot coffee for just 50 cents. Plus creamy frappes and refreshing iced coffee starting at just a buck each. BK Cafe, now at Burger King. Limited time only. Choose from sausage, egg, and cheese, ham, egg, and cheese, or bacon, egg, and cheese, biscuit, or croissant sandwiches. No substitutions.
Hey, listeners, it's Chris Murphy with Inman Murphy Termite and Pest Control. It's been a mild winter, so the bugs are going to be bad, and you know we're here to take care of you and your home. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852, and we can handle all the termites, ants, mosquitoes, and everything in between. It's going to be bad. You need to be prepared. Don't let the bugs ruin your summer. Give us a call today at 388-0852. That's 388-0852, or check us out on the web at inman-murphy.com and take charge of your home.
If you're the kind of person who agrees nothing beats the great outdoors, we have some fantastic news. Honda has found a way to make the outdoors even greater with special offers on some of our best four-wheel vehicles. It's happening now during the Greater Outdoor Sales Event at DeSoto Honda. Every Honda ATV and Pioneer side-by-side has the power to take on the biggest jobs and trails. And for unbridled thrills over any terrain, there's our Talon 1000s. Find the four-wheel vehicle that works hardest for you and start the year with a great deal. Like up to $1,400 factory to dealer incentives on select models. Make this your greatest year outdoors yet. But hurry, because offers this good can't last long. Get to DeSoto Honda in Olive Branch now during the Greater Outdoors Sales Event. Factory to dealer incentives are good with select new and unregistered models. See DeSoto Honda for complete program details and find them online at DeSotoHonda.net.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for our spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, wiper blades, brake kits, and more. Ready for an oil change? Get 5 quarts of Valvoline conventional or Max Life motor oil and a MicroGuard filter for $28.99. Plus, get a $7 gift card after mail-in rebate. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents, which means you're going to start telling your kids to clean up before the cleaning lady comes. Doesn't make sense, but you're the parent and they're the kids. You're going to start telling them that now, too. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. And there's your opening to remind them who pays the bills around here. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
Broadcasting live from the Triumph Bank Studios, invested in our communities, making banking easy for you. Let's talk growth. Triumph Bank. It's the Jeff Calkins Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Triumph Bank Studios, through it all. A couple things they do really critical here. One, their online banking is unbelievably easy. App is unbelievably easy. Even I have figured it out. And that is critical at a time like this. But secondly, they are going to be there when we are done. And when businesses need loans, talk to some folks who, as they're figuring out about a business loan, Triumph really acts as an advisor as much as anything else. Here's what we can do to make the plan work. And this was before all of this. Critical. They will be critical after this. It's great to have, you know, we can have outlets of national banks or regional, but whatever, in the area. But a bank that was started in Memphis that is of Memphis matters. Thrilled to have them aboard. Continuing aboard with this show. Joined now by Allie Prescott. Allie Prescott, former... He has worn so many hats, has Allie Prescott, and most recently as interim athletic director at the University of Memphis. But bringing him on today because it was 20 years ago that AutoZone Park opened. Allie, how are you?
I'm fine, Jeff. How are you doing?
I'm good. Are
good to hear your voice.
Are you doing a good job of social distancing? What are you, holed up? How are you and Barbara doing?
Well, Barbara and I are sort of hunkered down at our lake house over at Horseshoe Lake, so we're close. But, yes, we're certainly observing all the social distancing and certainly be glad when this pandemic is behind us.
So it was 20 years ago that AutoZone Park opened for the first time. Amazing to think of that. When you think back on that day, let's take the day itself. Now, the Cardinals were in town. Jack Buck was here.
Right.
Mark McGwire was here.
Right.
What do you remember?
It was about as festive of an occasion as I ever recall in my lifelong hometown, Jeff. It was just 15,000 people who are very, very happy. I do think in humility that we sort of exceeded their expectations in just about every aspect of the ballpark. I could see the relief on the faces of that incredible staff of mine that you remember and how hard they worked. But it was just it was a wonderful day. And when people walked in there and saw what was before them, I think they were just very, very proud to be Memphians.
Do you remember, let's take us back to that time first. It was a time in Memphis when people were not used to things going well. You had the convention center was late and over budget. You had the pyramid was at that point already been chalked up as a disaster. You had the NFL failed experiment. The mood was of skepticism of any kind of civic project, wasn't it?
Yes. I'll say that that's a fair assessment of the community's mood. And of course, you know, having lived there all my life, you know, after the assassination of Dr. King, there was this community mood that, you know, that perhaps downtown wasn't the right place for the ballpark. You and I have talked about that a long time over the years, and there was skepticism that people would come, and it was just not only wonderful to see that many people there on that day, but they continued to come, and it turned out to be sort of a, again, I say in humility, I believe sort of a catalyst for some of the other great things that happened in downtown.
When Dean called you first to ask you to do this, Dean Jernigan, who was involved with this project, what did you think? Did you get a call one night? Did George call you? How did this unfold?
Dean called. Dean and I have been friends as long as George and I have been friends, but I think George is the one that called Dean. And, you know, so I certainly give our dear and departed friend George credit for helping put the bug in Dean's ear. But Dean called me, and he basically said, you want to do this again, you know, because he was the executive vice president for Averin Fogelman and Fogelman Properties back in 79 to 82 when I had run the double A team, the Memphis Chicks, for Averin and Dean. So, you know, there's a fairly long story, but the end of it was that I couldn't say no, and I didn't want to say no. And in retrospect, having been involved in something that meant so much to our city and continues to mean so much to our city, it was really an honor.
You, I think, I believe you were, that was the year you were probably named Communicator of the Year, because you were out talking to every single, as this, even as it happened, you're exactly right. There was pushback about putting it downtown. And then for the longest time, there was this giant hole there that had trees growing out of it and stuff, and nothing was really happening there. And you were trying to sell the idea of this downtown ballpark, which people didn't immediately gravitate to. How hard was that?
Well, you know, I don't want to take any of that credit, but I was on the stump, and I would speak to any group, as you recall, any group that was willing to have me, I would do it. And, you know, there was a feeling not only about the skepticism about downtown and the lingering suspicion and fear, if you will, you know, after the assassination, but there was also the reality that a lot of the wealth, you know, our city can only really grow about one way, with the southern border of Mississippi and the western border of the Mississippi River. And then, you know, the development had sort of slowed down, to say the least, through Frazier and up toward Millington. So the wealth of Memphis had largely grown east. There were places where one could have built a ballpark. So there were people that thought perhaps eastern Shelby County is where it ought to be. So what I was telling when I was out there, Jeff, I just remember it was, if we can have the best ballpark ever built in this country below the major league level, affiliated with the St. Louis Cardinals, and bring AAA baseball to Memphis, that really, as I said, I was not smart enough to know that NBA might be coming. You know, I had never even heard that. But some of our greatest citizens, Fred Smith, Billy Donovan, Averin Fogelman, you name them, they'd all tried really hard to get the NFL. So I said, this is likely the closest thing we're ever going to have to major league sports in our city. And I meant that when I was saying it. And I think the first 2 years, you know, before the pursuit team got together And then everybody got excited about having a really a major league team with the NBA, and Lord knows how proud we are to have them. You know, I was being truthful to myself and anyone that was listening. I thought AAA baseball affiliated with the Cardinals in a great ballpark, and that all turned out to be true, was going to be our major league. So thankfully, I was wrong about that.
You built a Cadillac of a ballpark. $80 million, is that what it was? Was the tab?
That's correct, yes.
Is it the finest ballpark? Is it still? It clearly was at the time. Is it still the finest ballpark ever built in the below the major league level?
Somebody tells me that it is, you know, and in his years here, winning those two championships and traveling around, you know, there are different nuances to other new ballparks, Jeff, and, you know, we traveled to see all of the new ones when we were designing and building the ballpark, and you and I were walking around the perimeter of that hole that was full of water, you know, before we got it coming out of the ground. But, you know, I can't say because I haven't been, but I would say it would be really some fine facility if there's a ballpark in this country below the major league level that's better than AutoZone Park. It's still a gym.
What do you like best? What are the parts of it that you like best?
Well, the concourse that goes all the way around the ballpark, where you never you're never at a concession stand where you can't see the ballpark. If you hear the crack of the bat, you can turn around and see the action that's going on. I never will forget in 1976, the first time I ever went to Yankee Stadium, I missed a great home run. It was probably by, I don't know, Mantle or somebody. I was at the concession stand. You couldn't see anything. That's the way all ballparks used to be built. So the open concourse design was my favorite feature of the whole ballpark. I loved the fact that that we put the fences, you know, low enough where you could have that dramatic Ken Griffey. We didn't have Ken Griffey in the ballpark, but players like him jumping over the fence to, you know, to pull back along would be home run. I love the indoor hitting cages underneath. That was great. No one else had those at the time, and that allowed the players to come in, and therefore there were always ball players around. You know, I love the bluff in left field. It was just a gathering place for people, and the tickets out there were very inexpensive then and now. You know, I can't really think of much of anything that I didn't really love about it.
I think the best thing, I think, I love Third and Union. It really has become a signature corner of the city. I love the bluff. I love the view of the skyline from outside, from right field. I love the YMCA building. Okay, but here's my another question, Allie. So all those people who said we should put it out east, obviously attendance for the Redbirds themselves has dipped over the years, as you would have expected. I'm just asking this only as devil's advocate question. I don't really believe it myself. No. Is there anything to be said that if they had put it in Collierville, you'd have bigger crowds? Should it have been in the out east?
I definitely think the ballpark was placed in the right place and continues to be in the right place, Jeff. I mean, I'm not going to say that if the ballpark were in Collierville that there might – I mean, crowds might have continued at a slightly higher level over the past 20 years. You know, I can't look through a ball at that. But I know one thing. I mean, as a catalyst, again, I say that in humility, for other great things that happened, and you and I have talked about Andy Dolich saying Mr. Heisley wouldn't have brought his team here had it not been for the success of the Redbirds and bringing people back to downtown. I remember when we were looking at ballparks, they built the beautiful ballpark in New Orleans out in Metairie.
Yeah,
and Jeff, it had been there for 5 years, and there was not one development around the ballpark. You know, so I mean, I think it would have been unfortunate to say the very least, if we'd have put it in Shelby Farms or on the outskirts or something, and it had not been the seed for bringing other development. So yeah, I think it just. You know, it really had a catalytic effect on downtown, and I, you know, and so many people have said that There's no question in my mind that the ballpark club would be.
No, there's no question. That's right. And now you've got soccer, and it's got a great sort of urban feel to it as well. And so that continues to inject energy and life into downtown. I want to switch hats just a little bit. You served as interim AD at the University of Memphis. Can you imagine what Laird Veach is going through right now?
No. I don't believe that I'm smart enough to even imagine. I talked to Laird a number of times and stay in touch with he became a dear friend, Jeff Crane. He's doing a great job out there. No, Jeff, I can't imagine. I mean, the landscape of the world has changed right in front of our eyes in the last 100 days or so, and the landscape of intercollegiate athletics, I mean, it's changing by the minute. I can't imagine. I mean, I think we've got a really, really bright young man at the helm out there, and I think he's going to do a great job. But wow, what every day must bring for Laird and Jeff and that team.
It was, I presume, and you know this because you had an inside view, like, you're not rolling in dough over there at the university. It's perfectly well-financed for the university that it is and whatever, but you're not getting a massive check from the television networks every single year. And, of course, the schools that are doing that probably won't get those checks either. But my point is, it's tight in the best of situations. You got to figure, though, donations are going to go down, even if we have a football season. You have to figure basketball and football donations are going down. I don't even know. How do you even begin to get your mind around the economics of it?
I think it's an incredible challenge, and I'm just glad that we got such a terrific young guy who's got a good team out there to think it through, because, you know, even – when things were going good, I mean, when I was making speeches as the interim athletic director around town, not nearly as many as I did when we were building AutoZone Park, because there were other representatives of the university. You know, Dr. Rudd was out there on the stump doing talk. But, I mean, at that time, when the coronavirus was not in anyone's thought process, you know, I was just saying this business model can't work for the long haul. With the Power Five conferences getting 50 or 55 million and the AAC fighting for, you know, not even 10, and that we deserved it. You know, I mean, the donors and the support in this community has been amazingly good. But like you say, I mean, it's just such an uphill battle. And I know Dr. Rudd has been talking about it and concerned about it. And he's a tremendous leader. And, you know, I think that there's got to be some adjustment in that going forward when things do return to normal. But with what's going on now, yeah, I mean, you know, if everybody's portfolio is slashed by 10, 20, 30, 40, who knows how far this is going percent, fundraising, you know, for not-for-profits of any kind and for intercollegiate athletics, it's just a reality. It's just going to be a challenge.
How about the prospect of a football season? Do you believe, have you thought about whether you think there'll be a football season?
You know, I've become a big fan of Dr. Fauci, you know, and I watch him every day, and right. Barbara and I watch him, and we read him, and I just pray that maybe hot weather is going to be damaging, if not fatal, to this virus. If it's not, none of us know, including Dr. Fauci, how long this is going to last. And if it lasts, you know, I mean, I love Ryan Silverfield, and I love everything they're doing out there. But, again, I'm just answering the question, you know, are 35, 45, 50,000 people in Memphis or 100,000 in Ann Arbor, or are they all going to come sit elbow to elbow to each other? I hope that this is all behind us, where the answer to that is you don't even think about it. You come support your team. But we just got to get this. I mean, you know, first things first,
right.
Got to solve the flattening of the curve. And I know we got brilliant scientists working around the clock to come up with a vaccine. And we've got to have it to give people confidence to begin leading their lives again.
Allie, it's wonderful to talk to you. Thanks very much for everything you've done for the community. Wish our best to Barbara, and we will talk to you again soon.
Thanks. I've always great talking to you. Best stay safe.
How are you faring without baseball?
Say what?
How are you faring without baseball? I said goodbye, but then it occurred to me, you should be watching baseball now. How are you faring without baseball?
Not well. Not well at all, you know? I mean, I said to someone the other day that I'm never happier when I'm in a baseball park, particularly when I'm accompanied by members of my family. And not only can you not go to one, but you can't watch one. Yeah. And I watched a replay of a game last year between Houston and Tampa Bay, and it didn't do it for me. I'm not much on replay, so I'm struggling, you know, right. Like everybody like else. But when you put it in perspective, can't complain, can no. we? We
thank
just
got
to solve this thing.
We appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you, Jeff.
Again.
I really appreciate
okay.
the call.
Bye. Thank
all
you.
All right, buddy. Thank you. Bye.
That was it. Was that a balk? Would you call that a balk? I kind of I gave him the old fake out there.
Yeah, you know, you definitely start. We're moving the runners up.
Yeah. What are you thinking now about football?
Not
what
great.
What the hell was the thing this over the weekend? There was this ridiculous.
I kind of like this idea though. You move tee times up.
What
if you
the
got
hell?
Rain, get rain coming in the afternoon. You got to move tee times up.
So the theory was, and this is Sports Business Journal reported it, and they are
yes, John Oran.
As he's, credible as it gets.
John Oran's a professional.
He reported that they were thinking of moving the start time up for college football. What's the theory?
So the
to
idea
beat the pandemic. We're in the midst of the pandemic.
Okay, so the best I understood it was this idea was in response to if the heat does affect
let's
the
do
virus
it during the summer.
Well, and then it also, like, it was rooted in science because the idea is if heat kills it during the summer, it's likely to come back in the fall.
Right.
And when weather's when
well, that's the problem.
When weather's so they were saying, let's move it up.
It's like moving the tee times.
Yeah, it's just second. Moving tee times up. We got weather coming in the afternoon.
I will say, if you could put on football now, if you just said if you could, if they, oh, well, forget it. Let's just say in July, it's hot. The virus is gone, which I who knows?
Right.
I don't believe it one way or another, but it's not happening. It's the stupidest idea in the world. But if you could get that on TV, people would watch the hell out of it.
Oh, my God.
Like, they would, like, right now, and this is one of the unseemly things that happened yesterday, was Trump was literally tweeting about the ratings that his mm-hmm. press conferences are getting.
Yep.
And he pointed out, this is the president in a moment of crisis, pointed out that his ratings are as high as the Bachelor finale last year. He's literally tweeting about his.
You know, people don't understand. I went to an Ivy League college.
But you made this point yesterday when we were talking off the air. People are watching the news. They are what the news numbers
oh, yeah.
are unbelievably high, because A, we're all cooped up in our house. And so that people are watching the news, and they would watch. You get any live sports on, particularly football now, my God, would we watch it?
I mean, think about this: the WrestleMania replay that ESPN showed. They've been so on Sunday nights. They've basically been showing an old WrestleMania, and last week's, which was the only number we had, it did nearly a million people, which was the third highest non-news program of the entire week. A
what
WrestleMania from
now?
2014.
Can you bet on
movies?
Anything?
I mean, you can. There's
what is there to bet on?
There are some ponies running.
In where?
Like, there was an empty track, I think, in Florida over the weekend. I think they had the Florida Derby. I'm watching old.
Okay, you're watching old stuff. It's probably easier to bet on that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally like last I got Harry Potter marathon this weekend. Like I'm in a bad spot.
All right. Cooper Systems is there for you, ladies and gentlemen. You need your the real panic happens when over the weekend the internet, if it wavers, if it goes out, whatever, that really sends people screaming. And similarly, if your computer is not up and running, if it is not running fast, it is time to either get a new one or to get the old one repaired. And Cooper Systems is there for you. Just give them a call is what I would suggest at 360-9679, 360-9679, and Tell them what your issue is. Tell them if you want to get a new computer. Tell them if you want to fix your computer, et cetera. Again, it's 360-9679. But there will never be a time in your in the next 10 years when you will use a laptop more than you will right now. You might as well have a good one, or you might as well have one that is moving briskly and firing on all cylinders and whatever other technical words I should be using, but I'm not. It is Cooper Systems in the Mount Moriah Office Park, 360-9679, 360-9679. When we return, Chris Harrington will join us with a math problem for Jeffrey, and we'll talk to him about all manner of other things as well. It's the Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
For Memphis, whether it's sports or information that matters to you, we're the Mid-South leader. Sports, sure, but also local information that matters. We care, and we're the most relevant FM talk station around. Thanks for choosing 92.9 FM ESPN. More than sports. Now, more than ever. Always free, always on, and always your first choice in Memphis. 92.9 is helping Memphis stay connected. For more, go to radio.com/stayconnected.
I'm looking right now at the takeout menu at Bounty on Broad. There's the fried Gulf oysters I love so much, one of my favorite dishes in the entire city. There's the jumbo pan-seared scallops, just impossibly good. There's the pan-roasted quail. There's the braised pork shank. There's the Moroccan spiced lamb ribs. There's, oh my heavens, thank God.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.